Welcome to Sensible Health Solutions, the show where we simplify health and wellness. Join your hosts, Haley Fields and Dr. Scott Looper, as they share practical tips and expert insight to help you navigate common ailments, nutrition, and overall well-being. Tune in for straightforward advice that empowers you to live a healthier life.
Good morning, Haley.
Good morning, Dr. Looper. How are you?
I'm doing good.
Good. Well, we've been discussing different symptoms and how they might actually be your body's way of finding a solution for itself.
Most symptoms are. Symptoms aren't the problem, even though it seems like they are. What they are is they're the solution. And so what you want to do is you want to work with your symptoms and not necessarily shut them down. Fever is a classic example. Fever turns out to be a benefit. Helps your immune system work better.
Blood pressure
is another one. Turns out to be the solution to the problem of insufficient blood flow.
Getting your body the blood it needs.
Can
you think of other more kind of debilitating diseases or disorders?
You know, there's bunches. There's no end to this conversation here, seriously. There's one, though, that stands out because it's there's no cure. And pretty much when you show up with this particular problem, doctors cringe, and that's fibromyalgia. Fibromyalgia is when your body aches for no reason.
For nothing.
Yeah, you do get this aching in your body, and the textbook definition of fibromyalgia is that you have intractable pain. That's pain that basically just doesn't go away, nothing works for, and it persists for greater than 3 months. And then it's widespread.
And is it like chronic, or does it come in flares?
It's chronic.
Okay.
Yeah, in the past, the way this was done is that you actually check certain spots on people's bodies, and if you had 18 of 24 spots or something like that, then you officially had a diagnosis of fibromyalgia. It's kind of loosened up in modern times. It's not so much you have to have exactly these spots to be sensitive. It's more like regions now. If you have most of your body sensitive to palpation, and the spots are like this, you go, boop.
And it hurts.
And it hurts. Like, that hurts. It hurts.
Just
that much pressure? That's it.
Okay.
That little spot, that little press. Press.
Or like on the arm.
Yeah, this is not one of those spots.
Right, but is it like centered around joints or muscles?
Yeah, yes. It's areas where the connective tissue sheaths that hold us, they're called fascia.
Yeah.
That kind of cross. You know, there's big wide flat sheets, and then the sheets bundle, and then they tighten here, and then they spread out over to here. Your fascial sheets are just one sheet through your whole body.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just got these, you know, these outpouchings, if you will. And where the nexus is, nexi? Is that the right word?
Where the nexi not the doctor.
are of these various fascial sheets, it hurts. And it hurts where you put a finger on somebody and goes, ow, 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 where it shouldn't hurt. Normal people, it's like, wow, you're touching me. Nothing. Where somebody with fibromyalgia, ow.
Ow.
It's not only that. That's the main thing. That's the thing that drives you crazy because you're in pain all the time.
Mm.
The other thing that happens is a whole bunch of other stuff where you're tired.
Headaches.
Yeah. And brain fog.
Yep.
Anxious.
So not knowing much about it really kind of just initially sounds like a nervous system disorder.
It is.
Oh.
It's a nervous system. Your nerves are actually causing the pain.
I mean, right, that's what
makes the pain sensation. As nerves carry signals to your brain says, ow, that hurts. And so, it's more than I'm saying because there's a lot of other kind of functional things that happen where people's guts go bad. It's a common side effect of this thing. Or they have, you know.
Why do the guts go bad if it's the fascia?
You know, that's a good question.
Uh-huh.
Now we're working the problem.
Right. So.
Okay. First of all.
And that would be like a symptom that would kind of point you in the direction of thinking it might be fibromyalgia?
Yeah, no, the main thing is the pain.
The pain.
That's the pain. The fibromyalgia is the pain.
Okay.
There's a bunch of other stuff that goes along with it because it's a syndrome, and so these are other things. But not everybody has everything. Everybody has the pain. Without the pain, you don't have fibromyalgia. So not everybody has anxiety, though it's common. Not everybody has depression, though it's common. Not everybody has brain fog, though pretty much everybody has brain fog. Brain fog is like one of those cornerstone symptoms as well as the pain. I forgot one key one I forgot to mention is they usually have poor sleep. Actually, I forget the word usually. I'm self-peddling it. They always have poor sleep.
Self-induced poor sleep or because of their condition?
Yeah.
They can't get comfortable.
I have a theory, my personal theory. I'm giving you the punchline right now. I think this is a sleep disorder.
Oh.
It's a manifestation of a sleep disorder. Because personally, and I've treated lots of fibromyalgia. I treated fibromyalgia yesterday. So everybody has a sleep disorder who has fibromyalgia, without exception. I've never seen anybody with fibromyalgia that didn't have a sleep disorder. And I really think that's the fundamental problem with it. So let me back it up and say the treatment of this doesn't work particularly good. There's some medications that you take. Lyrica is probably the key one. And what it does, the doctors mostly focus on reducing pain. And so they have you take nerve medicines or sleep aids. That's kind of the new strategy that's come up in recent years as people starting to work on sleep more. So back, I'd say, in the early 2000s, I just had a whole bunch of fibromyalgia patients show up. And so I just had to start working the problem. But what I noticed after, I don't know, the fourth or fifth one, that every single one I'd been treating, they all had a sleep disorder. And if I could get them to sleep, they got better.
Huh.
And that was just practical experience. It wasn't like I had any theory on why this was the case.
And why weren't they sleeping? Was it their own personal sleep hygiene or was it their like inability to sleep?
You know, normally it's the pain.
Okay.
So it hurts to sleep,
mm-hmm.
and so then they don't sleep, and so not sleeping makes it hurt.
Yeah.
You see where we're going with this? It's one of those vicious cycles.
The rest to actually fully recover.
Yeah. So for the listeners who have fibromyalgia, I'm going to give you a tip right now. Sleep is key. What you want to do is you want to treat sleep. You treat sleep, and you're going to get better. Now, it's not the only thing to do, because if you got the pain really bad, and you roll over, and it hurts, and you wake up, I mean, what can you do about that? I mean, actually, what most people do is they'll take some kind of sleep aid, which is basically another word for dope. They take something that is basically going to knock them out.
Yeah.
And what happens when you get knocked out is your body doesn't sleep correctly. It looks like it's sleeping, but it's not. There's four levels of sleep, and what you do is you go to level two. And level two is not a particularly restful level of sleep. It appears that you're sleeping, and you know, people say, look, she's sleeping or he's sleeping. But deeply, you're not really sleeping that much. The repair mechanisms aren't really engaged correctly, and then you're not getting the full benefit of the sleep that your body needs. Now, let's talk about sleep just a little bit and kind of review what we know about sleep. So I'm going to ask you, why do we sleep? Why do we need sleep? Mm-hmm. What a stupid idea. 8 hours a day we have to lay there and do nothing? I mean, there's a lot of things I could get done during the night if only I didn't have to sleep.
You sound my 8-year-old. But we need to sleep because we need repair. Our cells need the deep repair.
Yeah, we need a repair cycle.
Mm-hmm.
We do. And our body runs hard and fast, and it's doing all kinds of stuff. And we need to click it into neutral and then get the repair team to come in. Clear the factory floor and get the cleaners coming in and the fixers coming in to clean and fix.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're better versions of ourselves. Our brain in particular needs it because it sorts information at night when we're sleeping. Dreaming is a side effect of that sorting process. So everybody dreams. Lots of people don't remember their dreams, but it's not that they're not dreaming. They just don't remember their dreams. But dreaming is part of this process. There's information taken from the front of your brain, and it's processed through the hippocampus, and then it's distributed throughout your brain. And what that does
is, I feel like the dreaming process is like on the lighter sleep stage. Because I can remember my dreams only in the morning.
Well,
after I wake up initially, and then I'll go back to sleep, and I'll dream.
Mostly that's when the dreaming's actually happening, though, is in the morning.
Okay.
The way the sleep goes is the first part of the night, your body's doing deep cleaning.
Okay.
And so you actually go paralyzed. I don't know if you knew that, but there's a switch that gets flipped, and then you go limp. And your body doesn't move. Now, your eyes still move.
Right.
But the rest of your body doesn't move. And there's this deep cleaning process that goes along during that process as well. eventually, oh geez, we're starting doing a whole show on sleep.
No, we're going to fibromyalgia.
Okay, let's just talk about fibromyalgia. So everyone with fibromyalgia doesn't sleep right.
Yeah.
So we need to fix the sleep. And we fix the sleep by doing the same things we do with everybody else. So I guess we just stop talking about what everybody else does and talk about how to fix fibromyalgia.
Yeah.
Okay, so here's how you fix fibromyalgia.
Well, I kind of want to tie it into the kind of overarching theme of this episode, which is how are these symptoms the solution?
The pain is telling you that the repairing's not being done correctly.
There it is.
That's it.
Okay.
So it is giving you a signal. This system is broken.
Okay.
Now, you don't want to take a painkiller, because now if you take painkiller, look, problem solved. I'm better. You're not.
Nope.
You're not better. You're not better at all. There's all kinds of stuff that's going to happen that the pain has nothing to do with. The fact that you have brain fog, the fact that you have low energy, the fact that you can't remember where your car keys are because you're a dope.
Yeah.
Because your brain isn't working right. Because your body's not, it's not getting the chance to do the work that it needs to do at night while you're sleeping. Your sleep is broke, is really what it is.
Mm-hmm.
And when your sleep is broken, then your repair mechanisms don't work correctly. And when your repair mechanisms don't work correctly, you fall apart.
Okay.
But you don't fall apart all at once, boom, you're dead. What you fall apart is in bits and dribbles.
Right.
And your body starts to ache.
Yep.
And the aching saying, this isn't right. And so you don't want to ignore the aching. You want to address aching. You want to recognize, I really have
and
a problem.
And the aching is a nerve type of aching.
It's a nerve aching.
That's the worst.
You have a nerve pain.
That is the worst pain that there is.
And it's worse if you move.
Yep.
It's worse if you get rubbed on. It's worse if you do anything that improves circulation. It makes it worse. And that is exactly...
Hydrotherapy?
Yeah, hydrotherapy is not particularly bad for this. It's not like one of those things that just, you know, wake it up. But hydrotherapy, whatever, anything that kind of gets things stirred up makes you ache more. And so it is really a problem because you don't know what you're doing that's causing it.
Yeah.
Because nothing you're doing is causing
everything.
It. Normally when you get hurt, it's because you banged something. And, ow, I have a bruise, it hurts because I banged something. But there's no banging. That's not the reason for it. You bang something and it hurts, and hurts enough to, like, cripple you because it hurts so bad. And then it hurt, and then it aches for hours afterwards. But it wasn't the bang. The bang was just incidental. It was the fact that your body's not repairing itself. That's the problem. Your body quit doing the repair.
So that's...
And so now you're falling apart.
That's what you do with patients. You help them get to a point where their body's repairing itself?
Yeah. So that's really... You hit the nail right on the head. That is the actual treatment for this, is to speed the healing process, to increase, to encourage, to motivate, to whatever.
Induce them into an unconscious state for weeks on end to repair themselves?
Sleep hygiene is important.
Yeah.
Let's talk about just, let me massage this basic concept first before we go into the details. The main thing is we want to improve healing. That's your problem. Your body is not healing correctly. You're falling apart is what you're doing on the inside where you can't see. And so what we need to do is we need to improve healing. So now the question is, how do we do that? Well, certainly sleep is part of it, and that's the most important part. So we're going to have to address the sleep problem. But we're also going to have to address the circulation problem, because all these cells that do the cleaning, they all come in via the blood. And with the blood not flowing, they don't come in right. There's not enough of them. And also they need stuff that's in the blood. Things like nutrients and minerals and oxygen and also the things they take apart, the waste product, the little bits they're throwing away, they pitch it in the bloodstream. The blood takes it away so that the liver and the kidneys and the skin and the lungs and other parts of your body can clean all this stuff out.
Mm-hmm.
Everything,
mm-hmm.
the whole process,
yep.
depends on blood flow. And the problem with these people is they don't want to move because they move, they hurt.
Yeah.
And not only that, they're tired.
Yeah.
And not only that, they're depressed.
Yeah.
And not only that, they're anxious.
Uh-huh.
And not only that, they have a headache going on at the same time.
So, yeah, moving is the last thing they want to do. Getting that...
You see why this is one of those problems where everybody goes, you know, like who comes in at the repair team, the doctors that come in and try to help with this thing, because what do? There's no pill. There's no pill. You could do a pill to decrease the pain, and they'll be 10% better.
Right.
Maybe 20. Is you're freakishly effective, maybe 30% better. But you're not halfway better. So what you really need to do is focus on getting the repair mechanisms to go up. So it takes a lot. And it's not that you're going to do one thing. It's you're going to have to do, I don't know, a bunch of things. Okay, so let's talk about how to fix this thing. Okay, first step. Let's make sure it's not something else. Because all those symptoms I just gave you sound like a lot of...
anything else that we've ever discussed.
A lot of other diseases.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, autoimmune diseases.
Well, and I'm thinking fibromyalgia is an autoimmune disease.
No, it's not.
It's not.
It's not.
It's not the immune system. It's the nervous system.
It's the nervous system. It's the repair system not being able to do its job right. And that affects the nervous system. And so that's where the symptoms are coming from. Nervous system is telling you things are broken. Nervous system's working fine.
How does the nervous system break, though?
The nervous system's not broken. The nervous system's working fine.
Okay.
The nervous system's doing exactly what it's designed to do, which is to say, the thing is broken.
This hurts.
So you feel the symptoms through the nervous system, but the nervous system is not what you want to fix. It's the process of repairing your body that's broken. That's what you need to fix. You fix that, the nervous system calms down because there's nothing to report anymore. Everything's hunky-dory. We're good. So now we got to fix the repair mechanisms. So let me just give you the basics. What you need to do is everybody with fibromyalgia needs to do exercise, except for no one with fibromyalgia wants to do exercise. So what you're going to have to do is forget the word exercise. We're just going to put that away. We're going to call it stretching.
Yep.
We're not calling it exercise. Exercise is going to make you flare, and you're going to feel worse. What you want to do instead is you want to do gentle stretching. So that has to be. So what I do, can we be practical? I start off by saying I want you to stretch for 10 minutes in the morning, set a timer, and just keep moving for 10 minutes. And it doesn't sound like a long time, but turns out it is a long time. 10 minutes is actually longer than you think it is. And that's a great starting point, is to do 10 minutes worth of stretching. Now I'll give them some specific ideas about stretching, but mostly it's stretch the stuff you feel like it needs to be stretched. Your shoulders, your back, your hips, your legs, your neck. You got to do a twist. You have to do some kind of abdominal thing. Things like that. Gentle stretching things. Okay, number one. Secondly, we need to get you sleeping better. And so the dealio with sleep, instead of doing the whole show, let me just boil it down, is in nature, the way sleep works is you wind down. That is, you go from a higher state of consciousness to a lower state of consciousness. It takes a while, half hour, 45 minutes, something like that. And then at the last point, right before you go to fall asleep, melatonin comes up. And you get a wash of melatonin from your brain. And that triggers the switch from, I'm calm and peaceful to I'm asleep. There's this phase change. Melatonin mitigates that phase change. In theory, you'll drop down into stage 3 or stage 4 sleep. We'll work on that. And then sleep the whole night through. Okay. And none of these things are working for people with fibromyalgia. They don't fall asleep. They're in too much pain. Their brains are too active. If they do fall asleep, they wake up in the middle of the night. So there's a lot of details to this. I don't necessarily can do in a half an hour. But let me give you the key ones. The key one is, at the end of your day, stop working. Stop doing anything productive. Stop doing anything stimulating. Click it into neutral and coast out the rest of your day. So if you're going to go...
And this is the hardest part for so many people, I could imagine, because... after your day is done, you want a little you time. You want a little time to look into things that you didn't have the time to look into. Everybody these days has a device in their hands, so I could see this being the most challenging part of the protocol.
Yes. These folks are highly motivated because they have so much pain, and their lives are ruined and they're crippled. And so it's not actually that hard to talk them into doing it. Words matter. And so what I tell them is I say, I want you to take a vacation. I use the word vacation. I want you to take a vacation at the end of every day. The last hour of the day is you're not doing any work, no work. You're not going to do the dishes. You're not going to balance a checkbook. You're not going to work on your taxes. You're not going to do anything productive, nothing productive. So now you got an hour, woo-woo, got an hour of just coasting. What are you going to do? Well, I suggest you put on some pajamas. Brushing your teeth would be a good idea. You could fluff your pillow, right, and get your bed comfortable. Maybe a book or some kind of devotional that you do, and just basically wind down. Just coast. Take it from high, and then just coast into home.
Mm-hmm.
You get into bed, and because you've already coasted into home. Oh yeah, here's the other thing. I suggest you take melatonin, not because melatonin is a very good sleep aid. It's not. It won't put you to sleep. It just doesn't. There's no dope. It doesn't decrease pain. It hardly does anything. Except for it does one thing, and that one thing is key. It takes you from almost asleep to asleep. And so I want to make sure that works fine, that the setup When melatonin fails, it's because people are vacuuming and they're cleaning their house. And when you're in the middle of doing that, melatonin does nothing.
Yeah.
Zero. Nothing whatsoever. But if you're almost asleep and you're in bed and you turn the lights off, then chances you're going to fall asleep goes up immensely. Question?
How long does it take for the melatonin to have effect?
About 20 minutes.
Okay, so you want to take it...
20 minutes before you go to bed.
20 minutes before you start your vacation or after you start
20 minutes before you're actually... Okay, that's a good question.
Yeah.
How do you do this? When do you start the vacation? What you do is you pick a bedtime. Let's say 10. So your vacation starts at 9. And you take melatonin at 9:40.
There it is. Yep.
That's how to do it.
Okay.
And then when you shut the light off at 9 and you've been winding down for an hour... that you're ready to go to sleep. The chances of this working is huge. It's absolutely the best treatment for insomnia that there ever was. Right now, what I'm telling you, this is better than any pill.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing is, if you do enough dope, you can get knocked out, and then you can actually sleep, but you're not sleeping. You only go to level 2. I mean, you do 5 shots of tequila, that'll wind you down pretty good.
Yeah.
And then it'll knock you out. And you'll actually sleep. Again, you're going to be...
But you're not in that REM sleep?
No.
Yeah.
No. It's fake sleep. It's not real sleep. It's not restorative sleep. The sleep is not restorative. We want restorative sleep. So you need to get deeper sleep. Now, in order to get deeper sleep, you need to be unmedicated.
Right.
Medication keeps you from going into deep sleep. It puts you into shallow sleep, but not into deep sleep. So you need to be unmedicated. Now, whoa. You just said take melatonin. Melatonin's a medication. No, it's not.
Well, even sleep medications will put you into that
shallower. Yeah.
Okay.
Yep. Sleep medications. Same thing. And sleep medications don't really work that well. It's not like you take sleep medication and suddenly, woo, problem solved, let's go. No, you're still dopey and you're still achy and you're still, it doesn't really fix it.
So what about, taking melatonin at night and then... feeling effects in the morning? Are you groggy? Are you drowsy? Are you hungover from the melatonin?
No. What you do is if your sleep is particularly deep and you have a backlog of sleep, then you're going to wake up drowsy and groggy and hungover from the fact that you didn't get enough sleep because you need more than one night of good sleep.
Yeah.
Now, you got a good night's sleep, but it wasn't enough. And so your body's going hammer and tongs trying to get as much repair as possible. And so it's not effective. You can't fix this in a day. This is going to take weeks, months maybe, to really catch up on sleep and retrain your body to be able to sleep correctly again, is what it is. It's a process. This is not a one and done, we're going to do this thing and it's going to be fixed. This is changing how you live and then letting it settle in. And really get down to it's about a 3-month process. Now, if somebody's not better in a week, then we didn't do it right. I'll tell you again, if you're not better in a week, within 1 week, and feeling like my pain is less, I'm feeling better, things are moving up, my energy's better, my mood is better. All those things need to kick in soon because it doesn't take long for you to get better. I mean, really, you're going to start getting better in a day.
Yeah, and I would feel like it would really take longer than a week for somebody to get used to their new cycle of taking a vacation and, stretching, including these habits into a patient's everyday life if they haven't done that before, that's hard. So I would think it would take longer than a week.
No, it's hard. Not as hard as you think. It's easier than you think. You're right. It is hard. Change is hard. It's always hard. Except for it's not. Because what I'm asking you to do is common sense. And when you do it, you're going to think, I shouldn't have been doing this all along. Really, it's not like you're working against nature and you're trying to walk on your hands instead of your feet.
Right.
That's hard. You want to talk about hard? Getting or walking, doing all your business on your hand, that's hard.
Yeah.
So we're really designed to use our feet and be upright.
Uh-huh.
So then it turns out to be, it's a natural thing to do. Same as this.
Sure.
So this thing where you stretch, my dogs, when they wake up in the morning, go...
Mm-hmm.
Talk about nature.
Yeah.
They're really close to nature. And the cat, too.
The cat, too. Same thing. Yeah.
That's what I'm asking patients to do, is that. That... thing,
so
right?
Just
do it a little more because you need some extra, so do it for 10 minutes.
So we use herbs in this clinic because that's what you do. What herbs do you recommend other than the melatonin? Is there any pain herbs that you would recommend?
Yeah, this is a good question. So when we talk about things, we oversimplify. In reality, nobody comes up, it's classic simple like I'm saying here. Almost everybody has something else that's going on along with it. They have concurrent problems. And so the digestive problems that go along with fibromyalgia really aren't being caused by fibromyalgia. They're just being caused by the fact your body's not working right. And so the bugs have taken advantage of you. Now you've got infections in your gut. And so you have IBS because you have infections. They're low-grade infections. They're not enough to kill you or not enough to give you a fever, but they're enough to disrupt your digestive system and make you irritable in your digestive system. So what we need to do is find the infections and treat the infections. So we do herbs to treat those infections. That's what we do, because herbs work better than antibiotics for treating gut infections. They just really do. They work better. We get a better result in the long run. And things like that. It may be that somebody's got, you know, actually, not only do they ache because they're not getting enough sleep, but they also ache because that, you know, they were horseback riding and they fell off and they hit their head. And ever since, they haven't been felt right. So we got to do something about the actual trauma in their spine and their neck and their hip from the fall that they did.
Yeah.
And have them do acupuncture, have them do chiropractic, have them do massage, have them do something that actually helps direct the body's attention to that area so that it can heal better. Acupuncture is particularly effective because it doesn't involve touching.
No.
No, it's not like you rub on anybody. No, you can't.
It's just pricks.
A regular masseuse is going to cause misery for somebody with fibromyalgia. So anybody's going to do massage for fibromyalgia, which can be done. It just has to be done lightly and correctly. And with the right consciousness of mind, we're going to restore blood flow in this area. So it's a light touch. It's more of an intention driven massage as opposed to we're going to rub out stuff massage. Acupuncture doesn't involve any rubbing. You just put needles in. I mean, it could. You know, acupuncture is more than just one thing, but typically what happens is you get needles put in, and those needles help energy to flow.
Yeah.
It helps blood flow, and who knows how it works, but in some kind of real but woo-woo way, there's a restoration of flow. And so then at nighttime, you sleep better, and you don't have as much pain, and you feel better, and the knots kind of work their way out, and you do better with it. So acupuncture is fabulous for fibromyalgia. The other thing about fibromyalgia too is sometimes people have a problem with their energy producing mechanisms. The mitochondria don't work right. The patient I saw yesterday is one of those people. And her mitochondria just, you know, she didn't sleep for so long. She just got too many toxins, I guess, or too much crap just piled up in her body just from debris.
Mm.
And so her mitochondria weren't working right. And so she was just tired and achy all the time. And so what I did is I put her on a bunch of herbs. But one of the things that I did new that really was super helpful with her is methylene blue. Methylene blue is a blue dye that was invented in the 1800s that happens to help with mitochondrial function. And it restores, to some extent, energy production. It's a crutch. It's not something you take forever. It's a temporary thing that you take for a while to kind of get things up and running, and then you go back off it. It's not a long term thing. It's not a supplement. It's really a crutch. You know, because if you sprain your ankle and you need extra support, and then you get this crutch and you use this crutch for 6 weeks
while it
and then your ankle heals, and you take the crutch and you throw it in the garage.
And you're running again.
Methylene blue is the same thing. Uh-huh. What it does is it's a crutch because it helps with the directing the electrons through the mitochondrial membranes so that it can trigger the production of ATP. It creates an alternative pathway for that. The main thing, though, is let me go back to the beginning of this. Fibromyalgia is a sleep disorder. And there's no chance you're going to get better unless you sleep. So now you got to figure out how to sleep. The best way to sleep that I've ever found is to set it up where you get a wind down.
Yeah.
And then when the time comes to go to sleep, you turn off the light. Now, the thing is, even with the wind down and the melatonin and doing the whole setup, people don't always fall asleep. So there's a trick that works beautifully. It's counting your breaths. What you do is you breathe in. If you're finding it takes you more than a minute to fall asleep, seriously, a minute, more than a minute, then what you do is you just start counting your breaths in your mind.
Yeah.
Don't say it out loud.
No. Right.
And chances are you'll be asleep before you get to, I don't know, 17.
Yeah.
Like that. And it's because it's boring as heck. But it's interesting enough for your brain to give it something to do so it doesn't think about all the other things that happen in your day that activate you and get your stress hormones all key in.
Yeah.
It's a detractor. It distracts your brain from thinking, gives it a simple task, and then the breathing is relaxing, and then you slip right into sleep. It is amazingly effective. Now, you're right. You pointed out earlier that the key thing is to want to fall asleep, because there's things to think about and stuff to do, and this is the only quiet time I get
at the end of the day.
You know, that actually is a question I always ask patients. I say, do you need that time? And sometimes they'll say, yeah, I really do. I said, good, then you need to account for that. I don't want to take that away from you. How much time do you need? I don't know, 20 minutes? Good. We're going to include 20 minutes in your wind down of you thinking about things that happened during the day.
that's a good strategy. Yeah, that's meeting them in the middle.
Yeah, which it's, you know, you got to think about things. Okay, then when you're done with that, you're not going to do that all night long.
No.
At some point, you'll be done, right? And then you say, okay, I'm done now. And that's when you start the process, right?
Dr.
So you
got to
include that.
I think we're over time at this point.
Okay, all right.
Very insightful, very interesting. Thank you so much.
Hey, my pleasure.
Thanks for tuning in to another episode of Sensible Health Solutions. We hope you found today's discussion enlightening and packed with practical tips to enhance your wellness journey. Remember, small changes can lead to big results. If you enjoyed the episode, don't forget to subscribe and leave us a review on your favorite podcast platform. Your feedback helps us bring you the best content possible. Stay connected with us on social media for more health insights and updates. You can find us at Sensible Health Solutions across all social platforms. Until next time, stay sensible and stay healthy. This content is for informational purposes only and is not a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Seek medical advice from a healthcare professional for any medical conditions.